Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith. Well, we're going to continue on in the teaching I've been sharing on scriptural praise and worship. And we've been looking primarily at the subject of praise. We've covered how Scripture talks about using our mouth. And of course, disclaimer is those that are able to speak, that have a voice. I remember once when I had laryngitis, I couldn't sing. You're not supposed to, you know, you hurt your vocal cords. And so it was really difficult. But God has given us the ability to worship God, to express approval and commendation with our mouth. He has talked about, we've talked about praising. The Scriptures talk about how He desires our praise. The Scripture references shouting. We've talked about the hands lifting in prayer and praise and in clapping. And then we have been looking at musical instruments, some of the specific kinds that are mentioned in the Bible. And I'd like to share a scripture found in Isaiah, the 30th chapter, verses 30 through 31. A very interesting one. It says, "And the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard, and shall shew the lightning down of His arm with the indignation of His anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian," the enemy, and that's true, the enemy of our soul, "be beaten down, which smote with a rod." But this is a very interesting passage. Verse 32, "And in every place where the grounded staff, the rod shall pass," the Lord's going to battle for His people, okay? He goes to battle for you. "In every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it." In other words, that talks about some of the musical instruments I've shared on yesterday's broadcast that the ancient Israel had to worship God. And so God inhabits the praises of His people. And so praise, beloved, before we even go into the message, going into a little another direction, is that we have to understand when you praise God, it's a way to rout the enemy. I'm going to share a personal story that I have. First time I was in Duck Valley, I was just visiting to visit some missionaries who were holding the Bible study at the Owyhee Presbyterian Church. This is before I moved there. And I brought my RV. I had my bicycle hooked to the back. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to ride down to the store. There was a paved road that goes through Duck Valley. So I got on my bicycle and I didn't get very far. And I don't know if this is true of all reservations, but dogs just kind of run free in packs. And I got to a certain place what annoyed me, the man was standing all right in front. He didn't do anything. His whole herd of dogs surrounded me, and they were circling me and barking at me, and I thought they were going to bite my feet or my legs, because they don't see people riding on the highway on a bicycle. I didn't know any better. I didn't do that again, trust me. Anyway, so I went down to the store. It was a reasonable distance, and started going back, and I had to go through the same thing again. That same group of dogs were there. This was great. They'd never seen anyone on a bicycle. And you know what? I mean, I was praying, rebuking the work of the enemy. And you know what I started doing? I started singing, "In the name of Jesus, in the name." And you know what? When I started that, I was singing. The lead dog, he shook his head as if he run into a wall. And that dispersed them. My praise, what seemed not very significant at the time, was that's what got them going. It left them, and so Beloved, it's always a good thing when you're praying to also praise God. Lift your voice, raise your hands, do whatever you can to magnify the Lord, praise the Lord with thanksgiving. So anyway, that's just a small story, but I didn't take my bicycle again up there. I knew better than to ride a road on the res with that. So, okay, let's move on. So, important to praising God. We're talking now about the body, and this week we've been looking at that, talking about, you know, the hands. We've talked about shouting. We've talked about praising and singing, you know, traditional songs, worship songs. And there's also ways of expressing in a more physical way. And again, for those who are physically able, God doesn't expect this if we're not physically, don't have the physical capacity to do it. But bowing or kneeling down or prostrating yourself. Bowing, by definition, it's to bend the head. Even that is, anyone in prayer, generally, even unsaved people I pray with, they bow the head. It's an act of reverence. It's submission. Or sometimes it's shame. You know, when somebody's done something wrong, they're hanging their head, they don't want to look at anybody. It's reverence or submission or shame. That's by the secular definition of bowing. And there's a reference to bowing in Genesis 37 and 10. When Israel was speaking to Joseph regarding his dream that the Lord had given, and it was a little somewhat offensive, this is his father he's talking about. Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Well, that sounded a little outrageous. Of course, that's exactly what happened when he was the right hand of Pharaoh, when he was delivered to a caravan, and he ended up in Egypt and interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams. And anyway, he was elevated in when there was a famine and his family came. He recognized his brothers, and what a family were you. I would love to see that on a spiritual video. I hope the angels record stuff like that. So bowing was the Eastern mode of salutation. Also, it consisted of kneeling upon one knee and bending the head forward till it touched the ground. And that would, someone would do that, for example, in the presence of a king or someone of high estate. Psalm 95 and 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. It's a stance of humility. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And of course, kneeling is to bend the knee, to fall or rest upon the knees. And in many churches, even denominational ones, that's not an uncommon thing. People kneel. There may be little prayer benches or kneel at the altar. Isaiah 45 and 23 says, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth, in righteousness shall not return. This is the Lord speaking, and this is going to be fulfilled one day, beloved, at the end of the age, at the judgment, that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear, everyone shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Praise God. All right, so there's bowing, there's kneeling, we're talking about the positions of the body, and then there's prostrate. As I said, that's a way of total submission and helplessness. And many times that's what today's officers, they make someone get down on the ground, okay? Because they really can't do anything at that point when they're stretched out with their face on the ground. And that's either in submission, as in the case with someone arresting them as a police authority, or in adoration. Many times I have done that in church. And of course, that's something you could do at home. Maybe you're not comfortable, or your church would find that somewhat attention-getting. That's between you and the Lord. But I'm just sharing what the scriptures have to say. And it's also, it means to extend in a horizontal position, being flat. But in a emotional sense, it means to reduce to submission, to helplessness or exhaustion, or be overcome. When someone's prostrate, they just collapse. The word itself, beloved, is not actually used in the Bible, but the act is. In Revelation 1:17, remember, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He was writing of his experience, and when he saw the unveiled Christ standing in all his glory, it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This was the beloved apostle, disciple, who had leaned his head on Jesus' breast, okay? He was very familiar. He loved Jesus. When he saw him in his glory, he just fell down on his face. So that's what it means to be prostrate. And again, let's now look at another position, that of standing. Let's look at the spiritual connotations. By definition, it's to support oneself on the feet in an erect position. It's the act of stopping or staying in one place, to occupy a place or location, to tolerate without flinching. That's what all means. You can stand the discomfort, stand the frustration, to bear courageously, to remain firm in the face of, to perform the duty of, to pay the cost of. Psalm 4:4 says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed and be still." There's two things there. On your bed, of course, you're prostrate or on your back. Nehemiah 9:5 says, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." And then Psalm 135:2, "Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." And we certainly always stand in our church service at some point in time. And perhaps you've heard the term, or the phrase, body language. Well, let me share the basic positions of the body. We can lie prostrate, face down, in worship or surrender. We can lie on one's back. That's a position of absolute rest or sleep, one that's recommended, but maybe most of us don't do that. We're on our side or different positions. Sitting or reclining, it's a position of rest and relaxation. This is an interesting scripture. Isaiah 52:1-2 says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength." It talks about getting up, doesn't it? But that concludes with, "Arise and then sit down, O Jerusalem." That's a position of rest. Well, beloved, we're going to continue on next week. There's so much to share. I have so much to share. Not much more on the use of the body, but we will also, I think, we'll be able to get into how the soul is used in praising and worshiping God. I love you. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.